Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Samachay. We begin at the very top, first word, first line, Samachay, Amud Aleph. We're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas and Benjamin Weiser, Yisachar Beirish Ben Shmuel Tzvi. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we start right off in the Braisa. It'll remind us what we're discussing as soon as we start reading the Braisa. Tanya, we're learning the following Braisa. This is Tosefta, and it tells us, Hamudar Hanoa Mechaveru. If the person asks himself to get benefit from his chaver, from his friend. Reuven says, I ask myself to get benefit from Shimon, so ein matirin lo el b'fonov. So then he must, if he wishes to go and annul this nether, he has to do it in front of Shimon. He can't do it on his own. Now, that's a simple understanding over here, but there's a much more complex understanding over here by the various Rishonim as to how this should be understood. First of all, if you look in the Hagos, Vitzionim Os Aleph, it tells us that the proper girsa should be Hamudir Hanov Mechavero Befanov. If you go and ask yourself to get Hanor from Shimon in front of him, so then Ein Matirin Lo El Befanov, then you have to go and do the Hataras, the Darim, in front of that person as well. There are two reasons for this. In the top round, he explains, it's a machlokes in the Yushalmi. One opinion there says the reasoning is because of Chashash. The other opinion says the reasoning is because of Busha. So let's see inside the top round, and we'll go through this. So the round starts off, and he says, Ikaman di Omar. There is one opinion that says, that Dafko ki shahaneder litzora chavero, that this din applies only if Reuven is doing a benefit for Shimon. He's making a neder that will benefit Shimon, and in this situation, he has to go and only do Hataras Adarim, either, some suggest, even with Shimon's permission. That we'll see later on, Bar Karcho, and that's the next round. But it has to be at least in the presence of Shimon, because this has to be like, as the round continues, Kineder Shinoda Moshe Yisro, when Yisro made Moshe make an edda that he wouldn't leave Midjan without first asking Yisro's permission, so that was for the benefit of Yisro. And therefore Moshe made the edda for the benefit of Yisro, so you would have to have it annulled in front of Yisro. You'd have to do Ataras Tadarim in front of Yisro. Or, so that was for the benefit of Yisro. Or, Kishua Sitzkiyolu Nuchanetzar, when we'll see in the Gemara, we'll discuss both of these two cases, when Tzidkiyot made a shvua to Nebuchadnezzar that he wouldn't tell anybody about the horrible thing that he saw Nebuchadnezzar do. He made a shvua, so that was to the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar that he shouldn't be embarrassed. D'maisi b'samu shahayisol to Allah, so it was to the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar, k'dei shlo yivozu, so he shouldn't be embarrassed. So in those situations, you have to do it in front of the person. However, avol, neder shenoder shelo litzor chavero, Reuven just made a neder that it impacts Shimon, but it's not to the benefit of Shimon, so matirin lo shelo b'fonu. Then Reuven can have the neder be matired, he can have Hataras Adarim, even not in front of Shimon. Now, Umistava, the Ran says, the Homil Sotaya b'may de pligib Yerushalayim. This is totally in a machlokas in the Yerushalmi that I just mentioned, Chashash versus Busha. B'tayma de ein matirin lo el b'fonav. What's the reason that you can't go and be matir neder except if it's in front of the person? Because the command the Amahasim, there isn't one opinion in the Yerushalmi, the time of the mil, so the reasoning is mikmeha busha. It's because of busha. Klomar, she's bayesh mechavero, shaneder hoyol hanoso. So, therefore, when Reuven is making this neder, it's the Shimon's benefit that this neder is being made, so Reuven can't just go and do Hataras Adarim because Shimon's being hurt. So, we make Reuven do the Hataras Adarim in front of Shimon to embarrass Reuven. Are you willing really to do this? You're hurting Shimon, so we want you to do it in front of him. This has to be for the benefit of Shimon, so we want Reuven to have to be embarrassed to go and nullify this nether, which was the benefit of Shimon, in front of Shimon. In this situation, that's what we're concerned about over here, the busha that will prevent Reuven from going and doing Hataras Nedarim. If it wasn't for that, mash with the material, so I feel so fun. Then why would Shimon care? Shimon doesn't have to be there because there's no embarrassment factor, so to say, to try to prevent Reuven from being mati this neder to go do Hataras Nedarim. If there's no embarrassment factor, so then we don't need Shimon to be there. That's the first opinion. Shami mishum busha. However, there's a second opinion. Miyu ika the yov taima. A second opinion is brought down there. Mipnei hachashah. There's a concern over here that Shimon never finds out that Reuven was matineder, and he sees Reuven doing something that is going to show that he's violating the neder. But Shimon doesn't know that the neder was null and void through that Hataras Adarim. So therefore, we want this neder to be matired only in front of Shimon, so Shimon won't have a chashash, he won't think badly of Reuven, thinking that Reuven is violating his nether. He won't know that this nether was nullified, and then when Reuven, with to get some benefit from Shimon, so then, Shimon is going to be concerned shehu over al nidro, that this guy is over on his nether. And therefore, high time afilu neder shulola hanos chaveru. Therefore, according to this opinion, the reason is the chashash. So then, even if Shimon isn't getting benefit from it, but if he sees Reuven going and violating the neder, he won't know that he did hataras to the darim. So therefore, ein matirlo ela befonav dika chashoda. So therefore, it always has to be nullified. The hataras to the darim has to be in front of Shimon, so that Shimon won't have cast aspersions on Reuven for violating the neder, not realizing that the neder was null and void. So one practical nafkamina would be in this situation, if it's because of busha, so then you can't just inform Shimon that, oh, I was matir neder, because the busha aspect wouldn't be there. But if it's just the point of chashad, so then the chashad would be removed by just informing Shimon. It doesn't have to be necessarily the Hataras Adarim done in front of him. Then in the next round, he tells us, V'hecha dehevi b'fonav u'bal karcho shel chaveiro, if you're doing it in front of him and it's against his willingness. Shimon isn't happy that this nether is being done and you're being matir the nether anyway. So pshita, in that situation, the matirim b'nether she'en lahanoso shel chaveiro, that can only be done in the nether that doesn't benefit Shimon. But avo b'neder shehu l'hanaso, if it's something that this nether was to Shimon's benefit, and now, even though they're doing it in front of him, Shimon's unhappy about it, so vata hin matirilo, elami daito. Then Shimon has to agree to this in order for it to go and be nullified. L'chein kosav Rabbeinu Tamzal, this is the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, and this actually is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Ran continues, says, Miu, hecha shetiru shalomi daito, if the nether was done without the knowledge of Shimon, so ishari nidro olo tzricha iyuna. So that already is a machlokes. If he doesn't know about it, can that be nullified or not be nullified? I and the rest of the Ran for that further discussion, which is more detailed than we have the time to go into right now. In any event, now we can finally begin to learn today's daf. So we'll start again from the top. Tanya, Hamuda hanoa mechaveiro. If a person asks hanoa from his friend, he says, I will not get any hanoa from you. Ein matir lo elo fonav. So you have to go and be matir the nether in front of Shimon. Now, how do we know this? We know it immediately. What's the source of this? So Amar of Nachman. Nachman tells us, the pasuk. This is the conversation that Yisro had with Moshe Rabbeinu when he goes to marry off Tzipora to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, but you have to promise me, you have to make a shua that you won't leave here without my permission. And that's exactly what happened. And you look at the Likutei Rashi, he says, this is from the word Allah that we'll see in that conversation. So Nishba lo, Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisro, shelo yazuz mi Midran, that he wouldn't leave Midran, ki im birishu, so unless he got permission from Yisro. So now let's see, what's this exactly? They'll see if the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe b'Midyan. Hashem tells Moshe while he's in Midyan, Lech, go, shuv Mitzrayim, and return to Mitzrayim. Kimeis kolad Hashem, as we've learned already in the previous shurim, Dos and Avir have been impoverished. It's as if they were dead, and therefore you can go and return without being concerned that they'll have the king's ear and you'll be in trouble when you go back. So Amar lo, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu over here, v'midyan nadarta, you made the original neder to Yisro while you were in Midyan, so therefore, you have to go back to Yisro, and in front of him, leich v'hater nidrucha v'midyan, and go and be matir neder in front of Yisro, and then you'll be able to go to Mitzrayim and take the Jewish people out. Now, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu made a neder to Yisro? They'll say, because we had another pasuk that says, "Vayoel Moshe lo sheves eso ish, vaytenish sipor bitol Moshe." So that pasuk, "Vayoel Moshe," so the word "Vayoel Allah ain Allah elo shavua." The word "Allah Vayoel Moshe" means that Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisro, as we just wrote down from the Likutei Rashi, that he wouldn't leave Midyan without getting Yisro's permission. And how do we know that the word Allah means a shvua? They'll say, because it says, Vayaveh oso be'Allah. We see this from the Maisa with Tzidkio and Nebuchadnezzar that we're about to say. The pasuk is, Vayikach mizera hamilucha, vayichros ito bris, Vayaveh oso be'Allah. Yes, elei ha'aretz lakach. So there was a shvua between Tzidkiyahu and Nebuchadnezzar. What was that shvua? The Gemara will explain in a minute, but how do we know? Vayaveh oso be'Allah, with the shvua, be'Allah means a shvua. That's when we have another pasuk. And some add the words uksiv because we have another pasuk that says, "Vagam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar morod," that Chizkiyo rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he wasn't allowed to do so because Asher hishbi'o be'elokim, because he had already sworn by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wouldn't do so. The word chayim isn't in the pasuk. Okay, now, what exactly was this merit? What exactly did Chizkiyo do? We see clearly that the word Allah means shvua, but what was the shvua between Chizkiyo and Nebuchadnezzar. So my Merudu say, what did Nebuchadnezzar do that he made Chizkiyahu swear that he wouldn't tell anybody about this? And why did Chizkiyahu break this neder? My Merudu say, what was his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar? So one time, Ashechet Tzidkiyahu found Nebuchadnezzar to have a ka'ochel arneva chaya. He found him eating one of two possible things, according to the Farish in Dibra Masel Arneva Chaya, Sheinu Mevushelis. It was raw. It wasn't. It was dead, but it was raw. It wasn't cooked. He was eating raw meat. Alternatively, his damre, it wasn't raw meat. It was a live animal. Chaya mamish ka'ochel sa kishehi chaya. He ate a living rabbit. While the rabbit was alive, he ate this rabbit, which is a very barbaric and horrific thing to do. And he saw, Tzidkiyahu saw Nebuchadnezzar do this. Nebuchadnezzar was afraid that Tzidkiyahu would call the whole world and everybody would make fun of him and they would depose him. So I'm alive. So Nebuchadnezzar told Tzidkiyahu, listen, Ishtabali, I want you to swear to me, Delo Megalis Ilovai, that you will not reveal this to anybody. Delo Tepek Milson, it won't get out there. You won't tell the girl, all the people. You won't reveal my secret. Oh, and Tzidkiyahu swore, Ishtaba, he swore to him. However, Lesov, Havakom Mitztayer, Tzidkiyahu Begufei. Tzidkiyahu was very, very pained by this. And Mefarish says, Ndiru Masl Havakom Mitztayer, Tzidkiyahu Begufei, Sheirotza Legalos Hadover. He wanted to tell over this horrific thing that Nebuchadnezzar had done. Kidei, that's the extra chof, that's what the Bach adds, Sheyu Mevazen Osob Neolim. This way, everybody would go and make fun of Nebuchadnezzar and would cause him to have a downfall. It's like there's a, if you have a public figure today and there's some sort of a misdoing or misconduct, so the person has to resign. So that's what Tzidkiyahu was hoping would happen. And that's why he broke his nether. We'll see, how did he break the nether? He got Sanhedrin to go and do Hataras Tadarm. We'll discuss that more in a moment. In any event, Lasov, Hokov Mitztayev, Tzidkiyahu Begufei, he was so upset that he wouldn't be able to go and do this, so Itshel Ashvua, so he went to the Sanhedrin, and he asked them to be Matir Neder, and be Omar, and they said, yes, he could be Matir Neder, his Neder was Mufar, and then he went to told people, and the whole world now knew what an animal the Melech Nebuchadnezzar really was. Nebuchadnezzar is ticked off. Shama Nebuchadnezzar, the Kome Vazalei. All of a sudden, everybody's making fun of him and saying, hey, you're a guy that eats live rabbits. You're a horrible person. So he said, how could this possibly happen? So Shalach, he sent for the Aitis Sanhedrin Vitzikiyahu to come to him and explain how he could have broken his nether. I'm alone. So Nebuchadnezzar tells the Sanhedrin, look what your king Tzidkiyahu did. He claims to be a God-fearing person. He swore to me that he wouldn't tell anybody, and he went and told everybody. Are you allowed to do that? So, didn't he swear by your God, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wouldn't reveal my secret? And how could he do this? So Amri Leis, the Sanhedrin told him, listen, itchali ashvuasa. He was shoel on his shvua. In other words, he asked us to do Hataras Adarim, and we did do Hataras Adarim. Abalu mital shen ashvuasa. So Nebuchadnezzar said, that's allowed? Are you allowed to do that? So Amri Leis, yeah, in. He said, yeah, we do have Sheila on the nether. So Abalu, he said, is that true? Befanov? Oh, afilu shlo befanov. Isn't it, he's quoting our Mishnah, isn't it only in a situation where you're doing it with my knowledge? So I have the right, according especially to the opinion in the Ram that said it has to be with his das and not bal karcho. I never would have given permission to that. So does it have to be in front of me or I feel a shlomo for him? What happens if it's not in front of me and certainly if it's not with my permission? So I'm relayed. So the Sanhedrin said to him, it should be befanov. He should have done this in front of you. Some of the hosts, he said, no. So then he didn't do it in front of me. Patun, my avidison. So why did you allow this? My time, Alor Misal and Tzidkiyahu, why did you go and tell Tzidkiyahu that he wasn't allowed to do this? And immediately, Nebuchadnezzar goes and does horrible things to the Sanhedrin. Miyad Yeshu L'Oretz, Yid Muzikne Vasiyot. He made them sit on the ground, and he did all sorts of, before she explained, he did all sorts of terrible things to them, killed them and tortured them, and he ultimately killed Tzidkiyahu in a very vile and horrible way as well. In any event, Amar Yitzchak, Sheshamtu Karim Mi Tachteyam, that the first thing he did was he took them down from their high position. They were sitting up on thrones or on cushions. He removed their cushions, he removed their high status, and he then did terrible things to them. Now, that's the story. The Ran asked the obvious questions, how in the world could Chizkiyahu have allowed the Sanhedrin to be matir the neder, not befanov, and how could the Sanhedrin have done so? So, if you look in The Dibur Maskel Vehecho the Heavy Befonav in the Ran, on the last of the thinner lines in the Ran, says Vahochanami Midisharule Sanhedrin Litzitkyo, since the Sanhedrin allowed Sitkyo to be Matineder, so it says Vi Apilu Bidieved Ain't a mutter. If you would tell me that even b'dievin it's no good, so it must be that at least it worked b'dievin. Mashma b'dievin shari. Aye, v'chitema akati kasha. The need in the b'dievin shari l'chachila be a wasser. Granted, b'dievin maybe it would work, but how could they do this l'chachila? This is the Sanhedrin saying yes, we're going to do this l'chachila. V'chi shari le Sanhedrin l'sikyo. So how could they do this? So several answers the Ran gives us. You could possibly suggest the Ledover Mitzvah Matirin, that this was for Dvar Mitzvah. And Sikyo is very, very upset that Nebuchadnezzar was oppressing the Jewish people, and this was his chance for us to get maybe the prevention of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When he couldn't reveal how terrible Nebuchadnezzar was as a person, so Nebuchadnezzar could be successful. Sikyo was hoping that this Mitzvah of saving the Beis HaMikdash would allow him to go and be mati the neder, not be fun of. And this way, they wouldn't have all the stoppages of the Beis HaMikdash. They would be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We got mitzvahs of Melech. And likewise, the Sanhedrin, they said, listen, the king commanded us to do something. Shemitzvah aleim, shemitzvah aleim latiro, so mitzvah aleim. And the Sanhedrin said, it's a mitzvah to follow the king's recommendation. Lekayim. And therefore, bekeich, bekach tirtzu betosos. And this was Tosos' answer elsewhere. Now, Igmor and Gittin. Now, when we call Makom, Mashma Dieved Mutter. So it certainly appears from here that at least Bidieved, it would have been permissible. Dielo, Mayahani Lele Sitkyo. Again, as we pointed out, then how could Sitkyo have gone and revealed it? But then the Ran, a few words later, says, Vachemram, another pshat is She'ena Elu Rayos, that none of these are really good Rayos. Dielo, Mafilu Bidieved, Eino Mutter. You're not allowed to go and break this nether here, even Bidieved. Sharia Kosov, Tzavach b'tzikyo. You see, the pasuk says that Tzikyo was wrong. U'ma'anisho, and Tzikyo was punished very, very terribly, as with the Sanhedrin. D'chsev, v'gam b'melech l'vuchanetzah, morat asher hishbio b'elukim, v'kein kosov raidzal, b'tzerei ma'osu bo u'v'sanhedrin. Look what happened to Tzikyo and the Sanhedrin. They all died horrible deaths. So according to this Raidit and others, they were wrong. They did something that was wrong. And ultimately, they paid the price very, very severely for what they did wrong. Okay, next Mishnah. Rav Meir tells us, Yesh dvarim she'en kinolad v'eino kinolad. There are some things that are a little bit like a nolad, but not a full nolad. As the Rosh tells us, Dibur Maskel Yesh dvarim she'en kinolad, nirim kinolad. In some way they're appearing like nolad, v'eino kinolad, but they're not a full nolad. We had a machlokas in previous shurim as to whether you can be poseach a nether with nolad or not. And here, this is not enough like nolad that you can't be matrit. And as we'll see, one of the gerus so says, we have the girsa. The next words in the Mishnah are the Ein Chacham Modlo, that the Chum disagree with the mayor, but many have the girsa. And you can see this is how it goes. It's Yunim, Oz Gimel, and Oz Dalit, V'chachamim Modlo. In fact, in this situation, the Chachamim are molded to a mayor that those things that are a little bit like a Nolad, but not a full Nolad, you can't be using them to be Matineder. Give me examples. Ketzer, what's an example of this? So the Mishnah lists several. Amar, if a person says, Konim Shani Nosius Plonis, I asked myself to marry a certain woman, Plonis, because, why? Because she'avi'ora, her father is a very bad person. He's a bad guy, and therefore, I don't want to marry her. But then he subsequently finds out that either Amrlo Meis, that he died, or she'asa tshuva, or that he did tshuva. And that reasoning no longer is applicable, because her father is either not alive, or her father is no longer a wicked person. So that is an example of dvarim shem kinolad, they don't kinolad. And we'll explain in the Gemara two possible explanations how this works. So, the Mishnah tells us, likewise, Konim Levi is there. A person says, I asked myself to go into this house, and he nechnas. Why? He says, because Shakelav Rabbisochu, because there's a rabid dog, there's a bad dog inside this house, or there's a poisonous snake inside this house, and it's dangerous for me to enter into this house. And then they tell him, Amrulo, Meisa Kelav, the dog died, or the snake was killed. So in this situation, it's a little bit like a nolad because we'll see one of the explanations is at the point that he made the neder, the woman did have a bad father. There was a dog in this house or a snake in this house. So it's a little bit like Nolad. If they're no longer there, they're no longer bad. The father's not bad. The father's dead. The dog is dead. The Nachash is dead. So it's a little bit like Nolad. However, it's Ve'eino Kinolad because, as we'll explain, one of the explanations is because it was totally, he made basically his nether totally. It's dependent upon the fact that the father's wicked, the dog's there, the Nachash is there. And if they're no longer there, so then it is not considered a problem. The nether falls off by itself. And again, the Gersa that we have is Ein Chacham Moglo, but again, in the Hagos and Siyunim, Oz Dalit, it says that the many have the Gersa that should be Chacham Moglo. The Chacham, in fact, do agree with Reb Meir. Now, we quote the Mishnah, we start the Gemara, quote the Mishnah, Koneb, Sha'ani Nichla, Slabai Zer, Shakele, Vechule. Someone not go risk the words in parentheses. In any event, it's Vechule. We're repeating the Mishnah. And now we say, Meis Nolad. The Gemara questions, how could this be? This sounds like it's real Nolad. Why would the case over here be any different than the previous machlokes that we had about Nolad? And why would the Chachamim, according to the Gersa, says that they were Moda, be Moda in this situation? After all, the guy was not dead at the time, and now he's dead. Isn't that Nolad? So we have two answers. Rav Huna tells us, Nase Ketola Nidro Bidavar. No, the person wasn't saying that I'm not marrying this girl because her father is a wicked person, period. He says the reason I'm not marrying her is because her father's wicked. If anything changes, so then my original statement falls off by itself. So if a father does tshuva or the father dies, I'm no longer going to have a horrible father-in-law. So then in that situation, I'm more than happy to marry her. And therefore, he wasn't making a neder except on the tenai that the father, as long as he's a Rasha, I will not marry the woman. But as soon as the father's not a Rasha, I'm marrying her. That doesn't even need Hatara at all. As the Ran tells us, in this situation, she wouldn't even need Shelas Chacham. The Ramasa Naske Ketola Dover Nidro Bidover. Ki the precious, as we have already just explained this, Mishum Hachi Shari Afilu below Shelas Chacham. She wouldn't even need to have Shelas Chacham in this situation. And he brings down further Vahachi Isabi Ushami Darin Hasim Ibneshu Ketola Nidro Bidover. In this situation, he's saying, I'm only doing this in the situation that she, in fact, has a wicked father. I don't want to marry her while she has a wicked father. But the minute that situation goes away, I'm more than happy to marry her. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan Amar, no, we're dealing over here with Kfar Meis. The father had died at the time that this prospective suitor had made the nether. He just didn't know it. Or that the father had already done tshuva. Kfar Asa Tshuva Karmile. So when he actually made the nether, there is no Nolad at all over here. This was a neder betos. He had heard that the father was a bad guy, and he said, I'm not marrying her, I make a neder, I'm not going to marry her if the father is a bad guy. But it turns out that the father wasn't alive at the time when the father was a good guy. So this is a neder betos. A neder betos doesn't need any Hatorah, it was a mistake. And therefore, there is no neder in this situation. Now we're going to question Rav Yochanan, and we're going to shlug him off. We turn to Samachay Omid Beis. The Gemara says, Masav Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, and this will be in tomorrow's shir in the Mishnah on Samach Vav Omid Aleph. Masav Rabbi Abba, from that Mishnah, it says, Konim She'eni Nose Leplonis Ki'ura. I will not marry a girl because she's ugly. Ki'ura. Now, Vahrei he not, and it turns out that she was not. She wasn't ugly. Or he says, I won't marry a girl that's shchora. She has a dark complexion. And Bari Levada. And it turns out that she has a lighter complexion. Or he says, I won't marry this girl because she's sorry, she's too short for me. Varehi Aruka. Then it turns out that she's actually much taller. In all of these situations, mutter ba. In every one of these situations, the nether is null and void. Why is that? Lo bipnei, not because shekura, that she originally was ugly, v'naseis noa, then she became pretty. Or that she was originally shekura, v'naseis levon, and then she became a lighter complexion. Or that she was originally short, sorry, v'naseis aruka, and then she grew, and she was now taller. No, those things, as the Ran points out, are very not shchiach, and therefore it's very unlikely that something like that would happen, and the person would never be tole his nether on something like that occurring. Ella, what must it be that he just was mistaken? Ella Shaneder Toast. It was a mistake. He said, I'm not marrying because she's ugly, but she never was ugly. I'm not marrying her because she's a darker complexion. No, she actually never had a darker complexion. She had a lighter complexion. I'm not marrying her because she was too short. No, she never was too short. He was mistaken. He had wrong information about her. She actually was taller. And in all these situations, it's a Neder Betos. Now, what do you see? This Mishnah, which in a way is the safer of our Mishnah, so the safer of our Mishnah gives us an example of Neder betos, and the Reisha that we just learned now was, if your father is a wicked man, then I'm not marrying you. But as soon as that's not true, so that's tola bedavar, so then it tells us a different din. So the Reisha, our Mishnah, tells us a different din than the Sefer, tomorrow's Mishnah. So Bishlam Rav Huna, this works out great according to Rav Huna, the Amar who says that our Mishnah is Nasa Kitola Nidro Bedovar. Our Mishnah is making a Tanai, so to say. I'm not going to marry her if and while her father is a Rasha. So if that changes, the father dies, he's no longer Rasha. If the father does Tshuva, he's no longer Rasha, so then I will marry her. So the Reisha, our Mishnah, is Kitola Nidro Bedovar. So therefore, our Mishnah, Tana, Tola, Nidro, Bidover. The Tana is teaching us that we're dealing in our Mishnah with a Tnai, that if the father's a Rasha, I'm not going to marry her. But if the father's no longer Rasha, he's dead, or he did Tshuva, I will marry her. And then the second Mishnah, the Sefer, which is tomorrow's Mishnah, V'tana, Neder, Tos, that teaches us the din of, if you made a mistake, so then your nether falls off, it's null and void. If you thought that she was ugly, but really she was never ugly, she was beautiful. You thought that she was darker, and it turns out she's lighter. If you thought that she was shorter, and it turns out that she was taller, nothing changed. You were wrong. And therefore, in that situation, the din of nether toes applies. Oh, so that's why, Bishlam Rav Huna, we need today's Mishnah, we need tomorrow's Mishnah. They're teaching us two different things. El Rav Yochanan, who says that our Mishnah today is the Omar Kvar Meis, Kvar Asa Tshuva, that our was a nether betos, that at the time that he made the nether, I won't marry her because her father's a Rasha. The father wasn't alive then, so it was a nether betos, or that he had done tshuva. So in that situation, the Omar Kvar Meis, Kvar Asa Tshuva, Rav Yochanan says that it was a mistake, so then how is our Mishnah today any different than the Mishnah tomorrow? Lama l'mis, they trace him, they neder tos. So that is also telling us the situation of Ke'ura, Vinoa, Shechara, Levana, Kitsara, Varuka, that's all examples of neder tos. Why would it have to tell me? Lama l'mis, they trace him, they neder tos. Why would today's Mishnah, tomorrow's Mishnah be teaching me the same thing? Mara says, Taka, you're right, Kasha, this is a problem for Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara concludes with Kasha. Yeah, it's a problem for Rav Yochanan. Usually when we say Kasha, there is a terrace, but the Gemara doesn't give it. Okay. Then we have the next Mishnah of Odom Rav Meir. Another thing that Rav Meir tells us is Poslo Minakosu Shabitorah, that we can use a Pesach by saying, if you had realized that you were going against a certain pasuk in the Torah, would you have made the nether? And the guy says, no, I never would have. So then we're using that as an acceptable Pesach. Now, the Ran points out, wait a second. We had learned on Daf Chav Beis that this is not acceptable. In Dibra Masl of Od, Omer of Meir, so the Ran says, the Afo Gav, the Askinon, the Perek Abu Nadarim, even though we learned previously on Daf Chav Beis and Aleph, the Lo Paschinon, that we don't use a pasuk such Yesh Bote, Kimat Kuros Chorev, Ulushon Chachomim Marpei. This is a pasuk that we had from Mishlei, which said that if somebody says something that would be like a sword, so the Chachomim have the ability to be Marpei. In other words, they can go and be Matir Neder on a bad thing that a person had said. But we don't use this as a Pesach for a person. The Chacham have the right to go and be Mati Neder, but we don't say, if you had known this Pasuk, would you have made the Neder? And therefore, no, I didn't know that Pasuk, so therefore, the Neder just falls up null and void. Shmuel had said, Afa Pisha Makaimo, Nikra Rasha. We said that even if you make a Neder and you're Makaim it, you're called a Rasha. And like Rabbi Nassim, we mentioned this many times, the Omar, he says, Kol Anoder, Kilabon Abomin, that if you make a Neder, it's as if you built a Bama. And then when you're Makaim it, it's as if you sacrificed on this. So we said that you don't use those as a Pesach. So how can our Mishnah now tell us that Rabbi is going to tell us that by certain dinim in the Torah that you are Poseach based upon that Pasuk? So Gemara says, no. The difference, Iran says, the Hosam shiny, the Havu Iyumim Gidolot. There, on Daf Chav Beis, these are major, major things. The E, Afilu Al Das Hano, Nodar, is Baishlav Arkain. Nobody would have the chutzpah to go in that situation and say, no, I would still make the nether if you told me how severe it was, if you told me any of those things that we just said. And then, so therefore, she'ein nedar b'netar in yofet. This is exactly what we learned yesterday. Nobody would have the chutzpah to say that they wouldn't, in that situation, not have made the nether, even though they were mishaka. They would have made the nether anyway. So therefore, nedarim can't be matted by using those psukim. Avohani, what we're going to use these psukim today, the money tana hacha that we're going to list here in a moment in the Mishnah, lo chamiri lin shekulei. Here, people say, that's not that important. And therefore, they would be willing to say, no, if I'd known that, I still would have made the nether. So therefore, when they say, if I'd known that, I wouldn't make the nether, we go and believe them. I point out that the Tosos points out over here that this reason why we said va'od over here is a little bit similar to what we said yesterday, va'od. He points out it's a kula acheris. Even though we had the opinion of others in between, the Chachamim in between. So nevertheless, since it's a kula over here, so we say va'od, even though we normally don't say va'od, if you have other opinions in between. That's what the Tosus reminds us over here as well. In any event, back to our Mishnah, what are the following things that Rav Meir says, you can be poseach them with the Kosher Shabbatorah? We say to him, if you would know, if you know this pasuk shatover, that by doing what you're doing, you're making an eder against the person, you'd be over lo sikom, or you'd be over bial lo sitor. The Rosh brings down the Dibra Maskel, shayisa over. He says, kigon shenoder shelo lahashu kelov lishchenov. This person who didn't lend you his utensils, so if you make a nether, I'm not going to go lend him back my utensils, so I'm possibly going to be over the pasuk lo sikom velo sitor. So therefore, we say to him, if you would realize you'd be over this pasuk, would you have made the nether? So we believe him in that situation. He's not going to be a shaker. If he says, I never would have made the nether in that situation, then we believe him. Likewise, if you tell him the pasuk, that it's also to go and hate your brother in your heart, and as well, so these, the Rush tells us, that shenada shalo lishol bishlobo. He made a nether. I won't ask how so and so is doing. So by doing that, you're over lo sisna sechich b'vecha, and not you're over v'hatriyecha kamocha. So these are things which a person would be willing to say. Yeah, even if I'd known that pasuk, I still would have gone and made the nether. As opposed to, if he says, oh, if I'd known that pasuk, I never would have made the nether. So therefore, this is a valid pesach if the person says we believe him that he really meant I wouldn't have made the nether if I'd known that pasuk. Likewise, if he says v'chei achicha imach, if you'd known the pasuk v'chei achicha imach, that you have to go and support your fellow who's down on hard times, so would you have made the neder? For example, shehu ani, or the girsa that many have over here is shema ye ani. You can see this in the Farish, you can see this later on in the Ran and others. Shehu shema ye ani, and therefore, and you won't be able to go and help this poor guy out. He's impoverished, but you can't help him because you made a neder. You weren't going to assist this guy. So if you ask this person, Omar, if you had been aware that this pasuk says that you have to go support your fellow man, and you made a nether not to support him, would you have made the nether? Shu Kane, would you have done this? So, lo yisidoder, in that situation, you wouldn't have made the nether? So, if that's the case, if you had said, no, I wouldn't have made the nether in that situation, so then we believe you, and your nether falls off. Morris starts off and tells us, Amalu Rav Huna bar Rav Ketina l'Rabbanan. Rav Huna bar Ketina said to the Chachamim, Neymar, why don't we say over here, called the mane lav olai nofil. Why don't we say that this person could suggest and say, listen, I'm not responsible for every single poor person in the world. My demati li lefarnaso, just like I'm obligated to social support him, by the kuliyama mefarnaso lay. So too, everybody else could go and support him. Now, that's one way to understand this. Others suggest, no, he's not saying that I don't want to have to support him, but just like everybody else, I'll give money to the local Tomchei Shabbos, and the local Tomchei Shabbos will go and give it out to him, and that's not me directly benefiting this guy. So even though I made a neder, he's not going to get hanah from me. He's not getting hanah from me, he's getting hanah from Tomchei Shabbos, which got hanah from me because I gave them a check. So therefore, he's not getting hanah directly from me, and therefore it's permissible. So why don't we just say that, and therefore you're not really over v'chei achicha imach when you go give money to this poor person indirectly. So where it says amule, so the Chacham said to Rav Huna bar Rav Ketina, no, you are over it initially. Ani Omer kol nofel ein nofel de gabay tchila. That's because when a person becomes impoverished, he first goes to his relatives, as the Ran tells us. He says the first thing that a person who becomes impoverished does is elishol mikrovov. He asks his relatives, his closest relatives and friends, please help me out. And only afterwards, if he's unable to be supported by them, does he go to Tomchei Shabbos, does he go to the local community chest and ask to be supported. And at that moment, when he's still in the stage of asking his relatives and very dearest friends, so at that point, you're over the pasuk, v'chei achicha imoch. So in that scenario, that's why you're over this nether, and if he'd known that, he wouldn't have made the nether. That's a valid Pesach Hareze Mutar. And the Rush adds, and he says, that this was the normal way. They didn't automatically go to the community chest. They would first always go seek out support from their relatives, and only if the relatives were unable to do so, in Ain, Sipek, Biyada, Krovim, and only if the relatives can't support him, or if I had a sue, then they would go to the public community chest and ask to be supported. So, again, that's the answer that we give over here, why this is still valid, even though he says I might go give money to the local community chest. Next Mishnah, Poskin Liyodim Miksubas Ishto. We find it is a valid Pesach if a man says, oh, if I'd realize I'd have to pay all this money in the Ksuba to my wife, there's no way I would have asked her for Manoah and be forced to divorce her. Therefore, that's a good Pesach and there can be Matir's Nether. So, what's an example is as follows. Well, Maisa Biachod, the once was a Maisa Shoya. A certain person, Reuven went and asked himself to get Hanoah from his wife. So he's obligated to give Hanoah, and therefore, basically says, either you matur neder, or you're going to go and be divorced, you have to divorce your wife. Okay, so he obviously was planning on divorcing her, but he had a huge ksuba. It was a 400 meya dinarim ksuba. So both Rabbi Akiva goes to Rabbi Akiva to adjudicate the divorce. The chivulit hilok ksubasa, and of course Rabbi Akiva said, "Well, you have to give her 400 dinarim. That's part of the divorce agreement." So I'm allowed. So the husband over here says to Rabbi Akiva, "Listen, I'm a poor guy, Rabbi. Shmona meyos dinarim iniachaba. I don't have any money of my own, and our father left us an estate, me and my brother, neither one is a Bukhar, so we each get from this estate of 800 dinarim, 400 dinarim. That's all that I have to my life. That's the only money that I have. Not lachi arba meos, my brother took 400 as he was entitled to, I need arba meos, and I took the other 400. Lo daya, isn't it enough? Can't you get my wife to go and accept shetitol he, that she should go and take from me masayim of the 400, let her only take 200, fani masayim, and leave me with 200. Should I really become destitute because I've had to pay off the ksuba? And of course, Rabbi Akiva tells him, yes. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Afilu, even, atamocha saroshcha, even if you'd be so destitute that you'd have to go sell your hair to go and survive, ata nosen lo ksubasa. You have to go pay off the ksuba. The guy says, oh man, if I had known that, there's no way I would have made the neder that I did to asa myself to get an offer from her. Elo Yis Yodesh, who came? Lo Yis Yinodiv. I know I have to pay off the entire 400 that I have. There's no way I would have divorced her. Oh, that's a good Pesach. V'itira Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Matin Neder, and they were able to stay married to each other. Gemara starts off and says, wait a second. This 400 bucks is what we call Mutalteli. It's not Karka, and technically a Ksuba can only be collected from Karka and not Mutalteli. Now, we've already pointed out many, many times when we learned Ksubos that that was the din originally, but in the time of the Gaonim, in order to protect the women, they allowed a ksuba to be collected even from cash, even from metaltali. But in any event, at this point in the Gemara, so you couldn't go collect cash. So he had 400 cash. He didn't have any property. So why did, in fact, Rabbi Akiva say that that's meshubit for your ksuba? So Abai said, yeah, it wasn't 400 cash. It was karka, shavu shmona meos dinar. They inherited from their father a piece of land that was worth 800 dinar. And the one brother took half of that property, and the other brother, the husband in our case, he had the other half of the property worth 400 dinar, but it was actually property, and therefore it's Meshubah to the Ksuba. That's a simple teretz. Ayin Gemara says, wait, keep on reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Voktani, Sai Rosho. Rabbi Akiva seemed to imply that they could even go and make him pay by selling his hair to get the 400 for his wife. Usai Rosho, that's definitely Metaltalihu. That certainly is not Karka. So it looks like Rabbi Akiva says that you can collect the ksuba from a tautli, which at the time of Rabbi Akiva wasn't the case. Moses says, no, you misunderstood what Rabbi Akiva said. Oh, come on, this is what Rabbi Akiva said. He said, afilu, even if you have nothing else left, you have to give her the entire 400 that you have. And that's going to leave you so destitute and broke that you're going to have to sell your own hair. Afilu atamoche saroshcha v'ochel, if that's the only way you can go and eat, gezuntahit, that's what you have to do. Because the 400, she is entitled to all 400 of it. And we don't start making compromises. Say, well, you know, it's only 400. Let her have 200. You have 200. No, she gets all 400. What do we see from here? The Gemara says, Shamas minah ein misadrin lebalcho. What do you see from over here? That as opposed to in certain situations where we do what's called misadrin, others have the girsa over here, ein mishairin. This means that under certain situations when a person has to go and pay back a debt, so we don't make the person give up his house. We don't make him give up his work implements. We don't make him give up certain things. We say, you still owe the debt. There's no such thing as bankruptcy and that the debt goes away. But let's say the debt was for 100 zuz and he only had 50 cash extant. And then he had a house and then he had some clothing and he had some work materials. So we don't make him sell everything in order to pay back the debt. He still owes the extra 50 zuz in my example that I gave, but we don't make him sell certain things. That's called misadrin or mishairin. However, in this situation with ksuba, shamas mina ain misadrin l'balchov. The Rabbi Akiva says, in this situation, we don't allow or we don't leave him anything, he has to give the entire 400 to his wife. So let's bring a right from here that Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that we don't do this misadrin, this mishairin for a Baal Chov. So Gemara says, no. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says, and we turn to Samach Lovam and Aleph, Lomar, this is coming to teach us, Shein Mekarin Shtar Ksuba. It means we don't rip up the Shtar Ksuba. What does that mean? So you can see this in the Ran, on Samach Chayam Adbei, is Dibra Maschu Lomar. It says in the bottom that it's really Shaykh to Samach Lovam and Aleph, as we just read. Kloma, the Ran is telling us, Ein Hachanami, you're right. The Rabbi Akiva also agrees the Misadrin. He isn't against this idea that you leave the person who is in an unfortunately destitute situation, other than with the ksuba, we don't make him pay every single thing. We don't have to give the shirt off his back. We leave him with the shirt. We leave him with some work tools. We leave him with his house. However, that's different. Miyu, Hachi Kamar over here, in our situation, Afilu Ata Osa Lifni Mishur Sadin, he, Rabbi Kiva, tells his husband, even if you go above and beyond the din, and you give her everything that you have, even though you could have had some things left behind, the Enoch Rotze Besidur, and you're saying, listen, I can come up with 300 altogether, even though I only had 200 that legally could be taken from me, but I have the extra 100, I'm willing to give her that, but that's it. That's all she's going to get, 300. Lo Tachshov Lihipoter. No, we don't say, well, you gave up every single thing that you had, even stuff that you didn't have to give up, so we'll settle for 300. No. Lolam ain't carving suba. So we don't rip up her ksuba and say, sorry, lady, you don't get the extra 100. No, you get what you're giving her now, the 200, let's say, that she'd be entitled to, or the 300, even if you're going lift a mishur sedin, you're giving her the shirt off your back, you're giving her all these other things. We are misadrin for a Baal Chov as well as even for a ksuba. But in this situation, even if you did this and you gave up what you would be entitled to keep for now, we don't rip up the ksuba and say you can't collect the rest of it. If you subsequently win the lottery, you subsequently get some more money, so then you have to pay her back 100% of the full amount. Tachzor v'tigobe. She doesn't have a ripped up ksuba. She still has a ksuba that can be collected upon until she gets the full extent of the ksuba. And therefore, in this situation, Linyan Sidur, he agrees with the din, and even though he went lifting Mishur Sadin and gave up the Sidur, if it didn't reach the full 400, so the woman won't have her ksuba ripped up. She'll still be able to collect the full 400. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.